Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Woods and Water South Carolina. Hope you're having a great day. You know, for those of you who are complaining about the rain, and you, I have a lot of friends in Charleston who are thinking they're living like in Southeast Asia somewhere. You know, it just rained down there forever, especially out of my fishing guide buddies. You know, they're like, another day in the rain, another day in the rain. You know, my granddad used to say the fish don't care. They're already wet. So if you're a fishing guide, you're complaining about being wet, you know, it's okay. But, in, you know, if you've had enough of the rain, then move to California. You know, it's, man, they've got it bad out there. That is just unreal. You know, it's a dry climate anyway. And when those fires get going, they just go. So, you know, be thankful for whatever weather we've got. And because there's always worse weather somewhere else. that's my picking on people only time today thing. So I have to do this. And just like I had to do birthdays last week, I have a boy. He's about 6'4". I'd say he's somewhere around 240 pounds. He's a big fella. If you don't know about my family, I have two daughters. My oldest daughter is 21, Jordan, and they're engaged. So big news around the Mets household these days. It's kind of funny in a really weird sense of, you know, a weird way. Because I'm excited, but it's like Monday was just another day. Yeah, they got engaged Sunday. Took her up to Jumping Off Rock above Lake Jocassee. Beautiful weather. But, you know, Monday this week is just, yeah, we've already started down the wedding stuff. You know, we have to have an engagement party. And you know, they're already starting the dates and photographers and all that, which is, you know, I vaguely remember that stuff when I got married. I'm getting a real refresher course now. But, like I said, Monday's, you know, I'm excited and all, but it's no different Tuesday. No different. I thought it would be a lot different. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, we're having a wedding. My daughter's getting married and maybe that'll hit me later on. But you know, the part that I think plays into this that makes Monday just another day is both of them are ready. I couldn't ask for a better guy. I mean, you know, as a dad, if any of you read the Facebook post on my page, everybody was, you made me cry. I mean, Jordan said, thanks for making me cry, Dad, and all that. But it's true. You know, if I don't know how many other girls' dads do this. But, you know, from day one, I remember when she was born, drew that first breath because I was standing right there. You know, you start praying for a husband, a man who will, you know, who's out there somewhere, hopefully already, and how he's being raised and how they're going to meet and the two of them finding each other. It's all God's plan. I mean, it's all there. You just, for me, it was just a matter of praying about it. And I think I prayed from day one. And I handed it to him. He came to me and asked me if he could date her a year and a half ago. He came to me a week or so ago and asked me if he could marry her. And I looked at him. I said, you sure you want to get involved? You sure you want to do this? I mean, giving him one last chance to back out, I guess. And he goes, yeah, I think so. I said, well, then I'm fine. I mean, her mom and I are fine with it. We have no reservations. I mean, he is a great guy. You know, somebody will protect her, you know, catch her when she stumbles, you know, just the whole thing that I've, Debbie and I have done our 26 years now. That's where they're starting. They're just a great couple. And, I did tell him, I said, however, if you do anything to hurt her, I'll put you on the ground. That's just understood. That's just what I do. You know, I protect my girls but I have no doubts that's going to be a great marriage and just really excited. So big changes around my household. I have a boy finally. Yeah, he hunts. In fact, he's probably a better deer hunter than I am, which is pretty bad. Probably owns more guns than I do. He's taller and bigger than I do. I remember when he was a kid, he's throwing around the pool. Because I've known him since he was like 7. Our families have grown up together, and they know each other real well. So it's just like another family. You know, it's just another connection, and it's going to be fun. So congratulations to Daniel and Jordan. Looks like May of next year I may be out for a Saturday or two. But that'll be all right because I got great people to come in and sit in for me. In fact, let's see, 2 weeks from today. Yeah, because next week I'm going to be live from Hot Springs, Arkansas at the FLW Cup. And then I believe on the 18th, I think Geddes Brannon is coming in. You know, Geddes and I have had a long history together since this show started in 2014. He used to be with the anglers at University of South Carolina fishing team. Has graduated, moved on. Now he works for Bass, doing a lot of their digital stuff, a lot of photographs at tournaments, and his role there is growing. So he's going to come in and take over the show the Saturday because I'll be in, hopefully that Saturday the 18th, I'll be in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I'll try to call in. You know, if I have a good enough signal, I may call in and give him a hard time or tell you how things are in Alaska and how the fishing is and really good. So that's the next 2 weeks. Today's show, we're going to have a few things on the calendar. We're going to talk about Paddle South Carolina. Katie's coming in, and we're going to sit here, and we're talking about Paddle SC, which is a great website for all you kayakers, canoers. You know, it's just a way that you can get out on the water. It's a really good website, and we're going to have a good time talking about that. Funny, you know, talking about Jordan getting married and getting older and all that. A friend of mine called me from Lexington, Kentucky the other day, and he and I went to high school together. We're still good friends with Kevin Davis. We go trout fishing every once in a while, though we've gotten really busy here lately. We haven't done much of it. But he texted me he said, I am so ticked off. I said, what's wrong? He goes, well, I went in to Taco Bell to get lunch, and I was looking at my receipt. It's just funny. He's looking at his receipt, and he and I are the same age. I mean, our birthdays are like 3 months apart, and he goes, okay, I got this order. He goes, what's this senior discount down here? So he got a senior discount without even asking for it. The girl just gave it to him. So I guess that's where we are in life, where we're now getting complimentary senior discounts. That was just funny. He was all upset. I said, yeah, well, hey, Kevin's hair turned gray like when we were 25. He's been gray ever since. But that was funny. So, you know, a little humor in the day. Never hurt anybody. Let's see. A few things on the, well, yeah, I got enough time to do this. All right, let's see. Let me find it here. Well, maybe I don't. Goodness gracious alive, time flies when you're wasting time like this. Let me give you an update on Dr. Grant Woods. And then we'll get to the calendar in a later segment. If you don't know, Dr. Grant Woods, Growing Deer TV, our friendship started in 1988 right up here at what used to be the Weston Sizzlin across from Kmart. When Quality Deer Management Association started, you know, Grant was doing his work down at Clemson. And in 92, he had a kidney transplant, and it lasted 26 years. But he had to have it replaced. And his daughter was a match. And so Raleigh Woods gave her dad, Grant Woods, a kidney. And they're doing great. I talked to Grant Wednesday. I was emailing him. Raleigh should have gone home Thursday. And she goes to college really soon. And Grant said he was going to have to stay at the Mayo Clinic for a couple days while they monitored his new kidney and adjusted the medications. But he said his kidney functions were better now than they were in high school. So, great news. Another prayer answered thing. Looking forward to having Grant. Grant and I are going to do a good show on chronic wasting disease. And he told me elk last Saturday morning when he was up walking was the start for his elk hunt coming up in September. So, hang on through the break. Going to talk Paddle SC and a lot of the things on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Got some great bumper music, don't I? Always have. I gotta work on it, though. I gotta update my bumper music. I say that about every month. But it's just, I enjoy listening to it, so why bother with something that's good? As you can tell, I've never left like 1986, music-wise. My kids keep trying to get me in the country music scene. And hey, let's see, Justin Moore, I think, is doing a free concert at the FLW Cup next week in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It'll be like the second time I've seen him. So in my whole life, I've seen Boston like three times and a couple other groups and the Doobie Brothers and, you know, the Eagles and some of that. But I think over the last 4 years, thanks to FLW, I've been to four different country music concerts. I think I had Rodney Atkins one time, Justin Moore. Uh-oh, I knew I was going to forget the other guy. And it was a good one. I think he's the one that sings Dust on My Boots. I don't know. Anyway, my kids are country music people, so we kind of clash on music there. But, okay, all right, enough of that, enough rambling. As promised, Go Paddle SC, or Paddle SC as they like to refer to it over at Upstate Forever. But I'm joined by Katie Hoddle. Katie, thank you for coming in and spending a little time with Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you. It's been on my radar for like a year and a half. Paddle SC, I mean, it's a whole website designed for, hey, kayakers, canoers, I guess stand-up paddleboarders.
Yep, that's included too.
Okay, all right. So you people that are really, you know, yeah, I couldn't get up on a stand-up paddleboard if you paid me. I'm sorry. You see those fails? Have you ever seen those fails with people trying to stand on a stand-up paddleboard?
Yes, I think that's me.
That's me too. So, good, we have something else in common. but yeah, for you two, it's Paddle the Palmetto State. I mean, a lot of people out there. Look, a canoe, a basic canoe, is a lot more affordable than a boat.
Yes, I would agree.
And although you can spend $2,500 for a kayak and you can put all sorts of stuff. I saw a kayak at ICAST. There was a $460 live well system for a kayak. I mean, you can almost put as much into a kayak as you can into a small boat. But they're still a lot cheaper than something with a motor on it. And you get into a lot more inaccessible places to most of us. Would you agree?
Yes, especially in the upstate area. A lot of people don't know where to go or what rivers are even around us. So that's one of the great things about this website.
Yeah. So this is for you guys. And people who are thinking about buying a kayak, you know, maybe for Christmas or maybe in the fall. Because fall's time, hey, that's the time to get out there and go. You got the cooler weather. You got the leaves. Normally you don't have to put up the storms like what we've had this week. But I appreciate Katie coming in, and we're gonna spend a lot of time talking about Paddle SC because there's a lot of information here. First of all, the website. Tell us about yourself.
Well, my name's Katie Hoddle. I am the GIS coordinator over at Upstate Forever, and Upstate Forever is a nonprofit conservation organization, and our mission is to protect the critical lands, waters, and the unique character of the upstate of South Carolina. And the upstate, as we define it, is the 10-county upstate area of the state. So if you're looking at a map, it's kind of like the upper tip of the state. And we have three major program areas. We have land conservation, land planning and policy, and clean water. And I work for the clean water program. And we work a lot with utility providers, municipalities, and landowners to preserve critical watershed lands and promote the best practices for clean water. But we also do a good deal of work with recreation. And we have done that, worked with recreation as a part of our Reconnecting People to Rivers initiative, and Paddle SC was kind of one of the main points of that initiative. And that is a interactive statewide paddling map that connects paddlers of all skill levels, so beginner, intermediate, advanced, to over 2,500 miles of waterways in South Carolina.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing one stroke at a time.
Yes.
I think one time at, was it after tax season? Maybe one time my brother and I paddled from Devil's Fork to the Thompson River across Lake Jocassee and back.
Oh, wow.
Which was kind of interesting coming back because you know how Lake Jocassee gets in the afternoon with the wind.
Yes.
That was kind of an interesting one. We've done the 99 Islands from Gaffney.
Oh, that's a great one.
Down to Worth Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Which on the Broad.
On the Broad. We eat smallmouth fish. Great smallmouth fishery through there.
Yes.
The first, I think it was 9 miles total, I think what we did. The first seven, gorgeous. Rocks, you know, lots of riffles, even had some small rats. Small rats, you know, like 1 or 2 feet that you could just kind of slide through or whatever. But boy, that last mile and a half, the Broad gets wide and deep. And
yes.
No current.
It can be a little lake-like at sometimes.
and of course, that was like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
When you're done, you're ready to go.
In July. So we had a great morning paddling, fishing all morning long. It got like 2 o'clock when you're really starting to steam. Now you have to paddle.
Yeah. Sometimes those river rapids can be a little scary, but when you hit 2 or 3 miles of flat water, you look forward to it.
Oh, you do.
Push you along a little bit.
Push you along. It's helped me out here. I've been on the Broad down around the Highway 72 bridge down at Turkey Creek Landing down there. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I've been in a manually powered boating thing.
I think a lot of people think of the Broad when they think of rivers in the upstate, but there's so many more.
Oh, yes.
In addition to the beautiful lakes that we have around here, there's so many more river recreation opportunities that people don't know about. And that's one of the main reasons we wanted to do something like this, is there's so much in the state that people don't get to see, and they don't know how to get there or how to get down the river safely.
We're going to fix that today.
Absolutely.
If you listen to the show right now, you're going to know how to get out on rivers in South Carolina, not just in the upstate, but all over the place.
Across the state.
Across the state, because this does cover the state. All right. GoPaddleSC.com. This website, if it doesn't have the information you need, you really don't need the information. But it's presented by Upstate Forever, the South Carolina Natural Resources Department, Heritage Quarter, the Rainey Foundation out of Anderson, South Carolina, and Paddle the Paddle of the State, connecting paddlers of all skill levels to over 2,500 miles of scenic waterways and detailed trips. And it's got a little button that says Start Exploring. Tell us, this is an in-depth website.
I mean, it is.
When you go to any one of these, and we're going to talk about them in a few minutes, to any one of these, you are going to have a description of the paddle, whether it's what skill level it is, how long it is, the water where you're on, the put-in, the takeout points. It's going to give you, if it's it gives you the current water levels, the minimums needed to float, whether it's got rapids on it. If you're in a coastal environment, it's going to give you the tide chart for the day and a link where you can get tide charts for several days. And if you're wanting to plan it a month or two out, that you'll have to figure out on your own. It's really a good website.
It's a lot of information.
It took a long time to do.
Yes, it did. Yes. So we started this website, I guess it was a little over a year ago now, and it was developed primarily with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and the South Carolina National Heritage Corridor. Those are our two main partners, and we were funded a lot by the Rainey Foundation and a lot of other really great sponsors and partners. But we developed the website to provide all of the information you need to plan a paddling outing on the South Carolina waters. And it's got some really great features that you just listed. And the main feature is the interactive map that helps you explore blue ways that fit your needs.
Yeah, when you click the Start Exploring, which is like the first button there on this thing, and my computer's going to be slow here, pops up with a map of South Carolina, and there's probably, how many would you say, 40, 50?
Something around there. Yeah. And there's two major ways to search. So you can search by waterway or by trips. Okay. And if you're searching by waterway, you're going to find a detailed list of everything on that river. So, for example, the Saluda River has all of the trips that you would find on that waterway, all the details that you would need, and then you can go into the more detailed page for each trip page.
Yeah, I mean, here's just a short list. The first, if you type search by waterway, you're looking at Ace Basin, Ashley River, Beaufort and Hilton Head, Coastal, Berry Shoals Pond, Biggin Creek, Black River, Broad River, Cape Romaine, Santee Delta, and Winya Bay Coastal, Catawba, Cedar Creek, Charleston area, Chattooga River, Chaga River, Chicken Creek, Cumbie River, and that's just A, B, and C. So there's a lot of water here for you to cover. And like I said, we're going to get to a couple of them here in a second. And we're going to do one that's like an upstate.
Yes.
With a flat water, what we're saying.
Upstate trip and a coastal trip.
And a coastal trip. Be aware, the coastal trip, you need to consider the tides, because you don't want to go out against the tide. You don't want to come in against the tide, because I promise you, that's probably a one-way trip. You're going to call somebody to come pick you up from somewhere. So you get in here, you discover, and you can actually just click on you hover over. There's the Saluda River Central. You come down here, there's the Pocatello. I can't say that river name. Lake Marion.
That one's easier.
Yeah, Cumbahee River. The Edisto, Beaufort. So you can actually go to there's the Tiger River right here in Spartanburg County. We actually came up, okay, explore waterways. We did this. Upper Saluda River. there's not just one on the Upper Saluda.
No, there's quite a few trips on the Upper Saluda. A lot of them I have paddled, and they're all great. One of my favorite ones is Beecham Road to Souls Harbor, which is in Lake Greenwood.
Okay.
And this is a little far down away from Greenville. It's right below Ware Shoals is where it starts, but it is a gorgeous little section. You hardly see any people when you're on that section. It's pretty wide. It's very flat water and beginner-friendly, and it's just a really unique section of the river.
So when you go in, you go into the trip, and we got a couple minutes here. It's hard to know how far to go with this thing.
I can talk for an hour about this page.
Yeah, let's stop now. I tell you what, let's look at the resources page, because there's a couple things on here that you know, water safety.
Yes.
When you're out there canoeing, kayaking, they make special life vests for kayakers.
They do.
The active upper body flotation devices. So, and it's always important, because you're really close to the water.
Yes.
That you wear a PFD the whole time you're out there.
We always encourage that.
Absolutely.
You never know what you're going to encounter.
That's exactly right. So water safety. Be paddle smart. Know before you go. So that's where the website comes in. You're going to know exactly where you're going, the flow rates, everything like that.
I think this is one of the most useful resources on the website, because it tells you a little bit more about how to understand the trip pages.
Okay.
So it's going to show you exactly what skill levels mean and how you can rate yourself against what you think you can do ability-wise.
Okay.
And it's going to give you all the information that you need to know about flow rating. So anything that has to do with the flow of water, if it's high enough or low enough to paddle, it's going to give you all that information.
And with that, I think we're going to hang on. We got a break here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back, talk about the two trips, talk a little more about the water safety part of it. And you've even got a groups and clubs where you can meet up and find other paddlers.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. All right, Katie, hang on through the break. Back on the other side with more Woods and Water South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. All right, Katie, who sings that song?
I have no idea.
Oh, I feel old today, Phoebe.
I won't tell you what year I was born.
No, please don't. Well, just for future reference, it's Lou Graham on lead vocals, and the group's Foreigner.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for not knowing that.
No. Only if you ever come back on here, we'll play the same bumper music. I ask you the same questions. I really appreciate Katie coming in. This is her first radio interview, she says.
Yes, it is.
And she's doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's just a conversation. It's just a conversation. Everybody out there, you're not seeing everybody that's listening. You could be talking into a black hole. It's just you and me. We were going into one of the trips, and we backed off because of time to the water safety. We were talking about wearing your life jackets and all that. And you were talking about skill and flow rates. And that's a little icon you can click here right in the middle, right below know before you go, skill and flow ratings. Talk a little bit about that.
So this is how you can easily identify on any trip page what the skill level is needed to complete that trip. And it's color coded for your ease. And so, for example, the easy rating is green. And it is considered little or no paddling experience is necessary. So that's going to be your flat water trips, something without any major rapids. If you hit any rapids, they would be very small and easy to get around.
Okay.
Moderate is some paddling experience is suggested for a comfortable trip. Difficult, you should probably have some pretty good experience with paddling. And advanced is, you know, the crazy people that go down falls.
That's
falls
those Green down River people.
Yeah, exactly.
The green. If you've ever been up, I trout fished the Green River a good bit. In fact, if you go north of Fishtop Falls Access, that's scenic river up through there. It's beautiful up through there.
It's gorgeous.
Huge boulders. Well, when the Tuxedo Hydro Plant is generating water, That's when the kayakers come out. Some of those places they drop off up through there. I mean, it's like 8-10 feet straight now.
Oh yeah, I'm much more comfortable with the easy and moderate trips myself.
Yeah. So for people out there, look for the green and the blues.
Yes.
Okay? The yellows and the reds, you know, it's just like a stoplight. I don't know if I want to go through that intersection or not. And the red, no, you want to stop. You don't want to go there. So a real good resource here just to tell you how to judge yourself, like Katie said. Water flow rating scale.
So this is tied directly to the USGS water gauges. Okay. And so for each trip, there is a water gauge that's tied to it and a recommended flow level. And when you click on that trip page, it pulls that data real time and tells you whether or not the river level is within the recommended range for paddling. So it will tell you if it's runnable, which means water levels are good for paddling, or if it's above or below, which can be unsafe for paddlers.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, what a great resource for guys like me who like to go smallmouth fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Or down below Columbia when the spring stripers are running through there, or the trout fishery down below Lake Murray Dam. I mean, okay.
We've seen a lot of overlap between paddling and fishing, and we do have some fishing information on the website as well. It's certainly not as detailed as something like DNR would have on their website, but we do link to their website.
Okay. Very nice. All right. So great, great little diversion there, because it would want to get the trips in and get them in totality. So back to the Lake Watery, or the Upper Saluda River, one of your favorite ones. And we started talking about this a little bit. Beecham Road to Souls Harbor on Lake Greenwood. Take us through that one.
So this trip, as I said earlier, begins right below the town of Ware Shoals. And it is pretty secluded throughout the majority of the trip. I mean, you pass a few houses here and there, but for the most part, it's just really forested and secluded. It's really nice. It's very quiet. You get away from the rush of the big city. But on this trip, it's extremely flat water, so you're not really going to hit any rapids. It's got clear, wide channels. And at the very end of the trip, you are spit out into the mouth of Lake Greenwood.
Yeah.
And it's just so pretty. It's very easy to do. It's pretty easy to get to. The accesses are really well done and easy to find.
These accesses, who provides the access? Is this a state thing or a natural resources? Who provides the access points?
I think that varies from river to river and from section of river to section of river.
Okay.
Accesses are so diverse.
Okay.
Some of them are provided by county or state recreation departments. Some are provided by local community foundations. Some, like the Souls Harbor access at the end of this trip, is provided by Lake Greenwood.
Okay.
It's an official Lake Greenwood access.
All right.
So it really varies from river to river.
Nice. So 6.8 miles, 3.5 to 6 hours. I guess that's based on how fast you want to cover it.
Yes, that especially depending on how flat the water is that day. If there's no flow at all, you're using your upper arms a lot.
Gotcha. Wow, but there's your green skill level, flow level, length, duration. No portaging involved in this one.
No.
Gives you access, and you can even pull up a map of everything. On the right-hand side of the page is your flow levels. Print this page. That's a nice one, so you can print off your trip before you go, which is always important because you want to know, you want to have a map with you.
Yes, you do.
You want to know exactly where you're going, and you really want to let someone else know where you're going to. It's just like a float, what they call a float plan.
Yep, trip plans.
Trip plan, yeah. You want to leave with somebody so they know and tell them, hey, I'm putting in here, taking out here. This is what time I'm going. Because if, for some reason, accident happened, you want somebody to know where to find
you. Yes, you do. But this page is really great because it shows you any pictures that we have uploaded. And you can actually sign in or create an account with Paddle SC and upload your own pictures or your comments on your experience on the river. So it's a pretty unique resource.
And you're not going to sell everybody's email accounts?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. I just had to get that in there because a lot of people, you know, it gives historical data for last few days. Current is 961, minimum is 800, max is 4,000. So you're over minimum, probably a pretty good level to be out there.
Yeah, I think so.
Got a little bit of flow with you to help you get down the river. So this, we'll say today, if you're going on this trip today or tomorrow, you're probably looking at maybe a 4.5 hour trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
That sounds about right. We'll say that anyway. So this is just one of them. This is an upstate flatwater paddle.
Yes.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we won't even bother to go to the Green River people. In there. And those, you know, I think they have a death wish, really. Coastal.
The coastal trips are going to be pretty similar to the ones you would find across the rest of the state. The only difference is the tidal charts.
Okay.
So instead of the USGS gauges that show you the current flow level, it's pulling information from the tidal charts that tells you the high and low tide and any information that you might need to figure out when the best time to take that trip would be.
Let me ask you this, because in tidal environments, there's always some adjustments to be done as far as when a high tide happens here. Is this adjusted for specific? I mean, when we go to the Ashley River Heritage Trail, is this adjusted for the Ashley River, or do people need to know to add or detract time? I mean, it appears like it's right on. It's right on.
Usually, tides, usually
the station is Bacon Bridge Ashley River, mm-hmm. So it is pretty specific.
If there is any specific information that someone would need to know for that trail, then that's going to be listed in the trip details.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of really great project partners that give us information about all of these trips. And, you know, I have not personally paddled this section, so I wouldn't know what to expect. So I'm a user just like anyone else would be for this. But if there's anything that you would need to know about that trip, it's going to be in that trip detail section.
So here we go. Ashley River Heritage Trail. Easy skill level again. 3 miles, 2 to 4, no portage, no rapids. And this is pretty cool. Paddle through history. And this is where that detail that I was talking about earlier is so. Because when you drop down into the trip details, you're going to get a lot of archaeology and historical content on this one, which is really cool. Tell us about this one.
So I'm not sure who put this one on the website, but I know that our coastal partners have been really great about providing as much detailed information as possible. And historically, in South Carolina, there's been a lot of really good information about constructed trails like this one, and it might be in a few different locations. So what I think this website does a really great job of is pulling information from all the different websites and putting it into one place so it's easy to find.
You're going to get a little history of Charleston, plantations, phosphate mining, transportation. They say in this one you're going to go by a couple of wrecks, shipwrecks. Which is pretty cool. Man, I've been on the Ashley on those upper parts, and it's, I don't see anything listed here about alligators.
That might be intentional.
And I know there are alligators at the Ashley River. I was kind of scared to bring it up because of wildlife. And this is one of those places, you know, every show I end, don't forget the camera. Look, it doesn't have to be a $5,000 DSLR. Your phone is a good enough camera for a lot of this stuff, but take pictures. Because in this one, I know in the upstate, when you're going to see, depending on the time of the year, you may see some deer, you may see some beavers, and there's birds all over the place. In season, you probably have some waterfowl around on some of these things. Low country, there is such a diverse amount of wildlife anytime you're around water, because water is kind of the hub for this. You're going to have egrets, herons, wood ducks, you know, ospreys are real evident along the coastal areas and all. But if you have a chance to come up on an alligator, just paddle
say
right on.
Say hi and move on.
That's exactly right. Use common sense, people. You know, wildlife is out there. Give it a wide berth, and it'll give you a wide berth in return. It says here shipwrecks are visible at low tide. This is one where you need to plan the trip around the tides.
Absolutely.
So you're looking to start the trip probably on an outgoing tide?
Yes.
And with a 6-hour tide cycle in South Carolina, you should be able to finish it in one tide cycle.
I would hope so.
Yeah, because you, like I said, the tide starts rolling in. I don't think you can, on a 6-foot tide cycle, that tide's probably coming in at 3 or 4 miles per hour. I don't know the conversion. But that's going to be like a standstill.
That's more upper body strength than I have.
That's exactly right. That's like you got to overcome the tide and then make progress. So be careful when you're doing that one. on the coastal ones, watch those tides, plan accordingly. And it's just like current in a river. You want the tide to help you with the trip.
Yes, you do.
Not fight against you. I was behind South Padre Island, Texas, and I was in a kayak, and the wind and the tide were against me. And it's like I could look over at the bank because I was saying, and I wasn't moving. I was paddling. Trust me, I was paddling. I was not moving. I was looking at the same spot on the bank until the wind died a little bit. Then I'd make a little bit of a move, and the wind come up, and I just, you know, paddle, but I just stay there. So keep that in mind when you're doing this sort of stuff.
I've had similar experiences on lakes in the upstate. You know, once that once that wind starts blowing, you can't go anywhere.
Nah, find a bank and hug it.
Yes. That's why I like rivers so much. They give you a little bit of something to help.
Very good. The website, GoPaddleSC.com.
GoPaddleSC.com.
Anything else we need to cover on this one that we haven't already that you think people need to know? Oh, we talked about groups and clubs and all. Yes.
So the groups and clubs page will show you all of the clubs that are in your area, and it's got links on there too so that you can click on them and find paddling groups that are in your area that you can join.
These groups, I imagine, are like hiking groups. They'll schedule a group paddle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On a certain trail and all. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So you've got Upstate, PD, Coastal, and Lowcountry. Wouldn't you know the Lowcountry? Man, they've got the paddle.
They have a lot of groups down in that area, a lot of clubs. But the Outfitters and Camping page also has some great information. So if you don't have a boat and you don't really want to invest the money, This page gives you a lot of the outfitters in the area that you could rent a boat from that could take you out on a guided trip.
Which is kind of the introductory thing.
Yes.
A lot of people want to, I want to do this once to see if I can do it. So you can find this. I know right here in the Upstate, we've got Sundrift Adventures.
We work with them a lot.
They run a great rental, $30 on a canoe for a day or something like that?
I think it's something like that.
Yeah. And that's the introduction. You can do it yourself or find somebody that will take you. And before you invest, I don't know, $500 to $2,000 on your own setup, you can find out if you like it or not.
Yep, I've done a guided stand-up paddleboarding trip down in the coastal area around Charleston, and I now know that I will not be investing money in a stand-up paddleboard.
Another thing we have in common. I'm not much for that kind of exercise.
It's very fun, but it was difficult.
I probably as a kid, teenager, 20-year-old maybe, not at this age. Nah, I pass over Shim Creek every once in a while, and I look down at those paddleboarders down there. And I'm like, to be in that good a shape or to have that kind of balance again, that's the big thing.
The balance was the biggest issue.
And if you want to find out more about Upstate Forever, Paddle SC, the sponsors and partners that put this together, there's an About Us. And you can even contact if you got questions. I'm sure you can contact Paddle SC and y'all will do your best at answering questions.
Yep. All of those emails come directly to my inbox, so I see them all.
So you will be the person.
I will.
Don't flood her email. I'd like to have her back on, and if y'all mess up, I might never get her back. So, that's paddlesc.com. Katie, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
I do agree. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I want to thank Katie Hoddle for coming in and talking about Paddle SC. I think she did a great job. What do y'all think? Huh? First time radio interview. Yeah. She did a great job. Look forward to having her back on in the future and get out there and paddle. You know, it's you're in nature. You're getting some exercise. You're away from all the rush and all of daily life, and it is an escape. That's exactly right. It's an escape. And one thing I'm going to tell you, when you get out in nature, try to be quiet. I mean, I know when you go with a bunch of friends and family, you want to talk and stuff like that. But seriously, when you're out there sometimes, just be quiet and listen. It's amazing the things you hear. It's amazing the same things you see when you're quiet because they don't know you're around. and try it sometime. It's a great thing. I want to get to the calendar of events right quick, brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing and Event Center. The Wildlife Food Plot Project registration deadline is coming up. Every year, the South Carolina 4-H sponsors what amounts to a backyard habitat project. And it runs from September to January. It's a hands-on and environmental education program and an independent study project that allows youth ages 5 to 18 an opportunity to establish, maintain, and observe a wildlife food plot. Youth learn concepts of wildlife conservation, plant identification, habitat management, and have the opportunity to put that knowledge into practice. It's $18. You get a record book and seed for approximately 1/8 of an acre. Prizes awarded. And let's see, I think the deadline is August the 10th. So got a week or so to get in and do this. This is always a fun thing to do. I helped out a good bit when I lived over in Chester with that area of the state, and it was fun to watch those kids get involved. On August the 11th, the dedication of the Iron Bridge at Glendale. This is part of the Glendale Outdoor Leadership Program. They're at Glendale Shoals, are going to dedicate the new bridge. Ribbon cuttings for the newly restored Iron Bridge at Glendale. Glendale's incredible outdoor space for hiking, picnics, kayaking, cycling, and enjoying nature. This bridge is a centerpiece of Glendale's revitalization. That's just on the other side of Spartanburg, if you're interested in that. Or goals, setgoals.com is their website, or setgoals.org. SETGOLS. I'll look it up. The Department of Natural Resources is sponsoring a free youth wing shooting clinic. You know, it's dove season just around the corner now. 4 weeks out? August the 14th, 8:30 until 2 p.m. in Greenwood, South Carolina. Come and learn all the basics of bird hunting at our hands-on clinic for youth ages 10 to 17. It's limited to 25 participants, so you need to get in touch as soon as you can through the DNR website or contact Mary Anna at masonm@dnr.sc.gov. Again, that's masonm@dnr.sc.gov for a free DNR youth shooting clinic. I think that's all I got for this. Oh, well, there's news. Let's put it that way. There's news. Hey, deer tags. They have been mailed or being mailed to South Carolina deer hunters. Deer tags for the 2018 season are in mailboxes now. I have mine. You should be getting yours if you are in the system from last year. They're automatic. Don't inquire about them until after August the 3rd. So I guess if you haven't got them now, you might can try to find out why. But like I said, if you're active in the system with a hunting license or you had a big game permit, combination sportsman's license, that's valid through August 15th, you should automatically get your tags. They are, again, at no cost. Remember, every deer harvested in the field must be tagged at the point you recover the deer. Don't move it in the field and tag it in your truck. They can get you between those two points if it's not tagged. Let's see. I'm not going to get into a lot of that. There's some pretty good news for youth hunters in South Carolina. And I was going to wait and cover this later on, but we've been asking for it for a couple of years, maybe longer now. And we have it. There are new youth deer hunt days on private land. And they are in Game Zone 1, September 29th. Antler deer only, limit one. In Game Zone 2, September the 8th, antler deer only, limit one. Game Zone 3, August the 11th, antler deer only, limit one. In Game Zone 4, August the 11th, antler deer only, limit one. Last year, youth days are normally in January. The temperature last year on youth day, I think, was like 18 degrees. It's hard to get a youth excited about going deer hunting when it's 18 degrees out there and the deer have been, you know, hunted all year long. They're skittish. You know what it's like to hunt late in the season. This is great news for our youth. I'll get into more details. We're going to do a detail show on regulations and all for the new year. But that is some great news for youth deer hunting in South Carolina. Now you have days at the beginning of the season, and this is not for adults to abuse now. This is for youth only. We have enough opportunity to hunt. This is for the youth hunters of our state. Oh, got a couple more pieces of news here, and it'll be over for another week. Got to congratulate the Burns High Rebels junior team of Mitchell Robinson and Mason Ritz. They finished seventh in the Mossy Oak High School Championships this week up in Tennessee. And also kudos go out to the 27th place team of Joseph Fegley and Wilson Ravenscroft from North Augusta Fishing Team, two South Carolina teams that qualified for the high school the junior high school nationals and did really well. The high school groups are fishing right now. And we got another team with a Robinson in it that is fishing in it. And if you're keeping up with bass, you know, they postponed the tournament that was supposed to be up on the Chesapeake Bay because of flooding. It had the rains up there. They had a lot of debris in the water. Geddes was up there and said it was just awful running a boat around in it because there were trees below the surface. And so they postponed it for safety reasons, and they released a press release this week said they will not reschedule that tournament. And before you go, why not? Well, they have a governing body of like 11 anglers on an advisory board, and they surveyed all 107 elites. And I guess a majority said, you know, we can't do it because of conditions, and they couldn't get it set up back with the host city. So, short one event this year on the bass side. Thanks to Katie for coming on. Get out there. Go paddle, SC. You got a great resource. Take advantage of it. As always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget to get the camera. I'll be live from Hot Springs, Arkansas next Saturday. Have a great week. From high, yes, I'm